Well, today is Father's Day. And it's kind of interesting to me that a country such as ours would still recognize Father's Day. A country that aborts millions of babies would still recognize that a father is a good thing and would want to honor a father. But one thing that our country doesn't do, that praise God our Heavenly Father does, is He instructs us how to be good fathers. And so this morning I want to take this opportunity on Father's Day to bring to light some of God's instructions for fathers. You see, fathers play a very important role in the lives of their children. I want to begin by giving you just a few statistics, okay? And these show what an important role, the great effect that fathers have on their children. Now, in these three statistics that I'll give you, we see the effects that a father makes on his children with his absence. But as we look at them, consider also the great opportunity there is there for fathers to have an effect with their presence. 71% of high school dropouts come from a fatherless home. 85% of children with behavior disorders come from a fatherless home. 90% of all homeless and runaway children, 90% come from a fatherless home. Fathers, we have a great opportunity. Now, these statistics are very sad. They really are. And yet, as we look around, we might think, well, you know, I believe them, they're true, but those statistics don't really have anything to do with us and our families. I mean, we're doing a pretty good job, you know. But I want to encourage you this morning with some words that Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 9 and 10. I won't read it, but basically what he said there concerning love of the brethren, he told them, he said, that you really have no need of anyone to write to you about this. But we urge you to excel still more. Okay? That's very much how I feel. Fathers, you're on the right track. But don't relax because your family is doing better than most in America. Don't relax. I urge you, excel still more. So, fathers, you're so important. You have great opportunities to influence the lives of your children. And so I pray this morning that God will be at work instructing us in this area of life. But this message isn't just for fathers. It's for you mothers as well. You see, you play a huge role as well in the lives of your children. So mothers, this is for you. Be the mother that God wants you to be, and help your husband to be the father that God wants him to be. But this message is also for you children, and for you young adults who aren't married yet. Because God willing, you will get married, and He will bless you with children. And so, listen closely, and may God prepare you now for the responsibilities and the roles that He will give you in the future. Now, the Holy Scriptures are full of instructions for fathers, but this morning, I want to focus mainly on one verse, and that's Ephesians 6, verse 4. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Here we see general instructions for fathers. And what we really see in this verse is that fathers are to be well balanced. You see, parenting is really balancing rules and relationships. And those are the two main points of the verse: rules and relationships. You see, one without the other isn't good. The father that's all about relationships and he never tells his child no is not a good father. At the same time, the father that is strict and cares more about making sure his rules are followed than he does with cultivating a relationship with his children, well, that isn't good either. So we need to be balanced. We need to balance rules and relationships. So for parents, in this verse here in Ephesians, I believe the second half of the verse is teaching us what to do. Well, the first part of the verse is teaching us how to do it. You see, some parents try only the relationship part. It's almost like they're trying to be their children's best friend, but they're not giving them any structure. They're not really teaching them the way they should go. And the outcome isn't good. The children then end up doing whatever they want because their parents never taught them what they should be doing. But then there are some parents that err on the other side. It's all about the rules. And so they teach and they train their children. And they're very diligent to give them a good education. But they destroy the relationship in the meantime. And so the children end up rejecting what they were taught because it wasn't taught to them in love. So let's look at Ephesians. And may God give us balance as we consider rules and relationships. So number one, relationships. Ephesians 6:4 begins, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." Now this is an interesting command for fathers, isn't it? And in explaining what this means, I think it'll help to explain first what it doesn't mean. Okay, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. This does not mean that fathers are supposed to refrain from saying anything to their children that might make them angry. Okay, fathers are not to tiptoe around their children, trying not to do anything to upset them. Okay, that's not it at all. But I believe what we're taught here is that fathers need to be careful. We need to be careful in our parenting. You see, the job of parenting is not like other jobs. It's not a simple matter of figuring out what's right and what's wrong and then trying to fix what's wrong with our children. Parenting is a relationship. You see, the best parents don't have perfect children. They don't. But what they do have is a good relationship with their children. So this is emphasizing the importance of being careful, being sensitive to your children, and really cultivating a good relationship with them as you parent them. You see, parenting is not all about teaching and training children, but it's also about building a relationship with them. So how do we do this? How can we teach them and train them and yet not provoke them to anger? Well, we could look at any number of passages and any number of many, many good points. But this morning we'll look at four subpoints in this area. And these are very important when it comes to cultivating relationships with our children and not provoking them to anger. Now, before we look at these four, first things first. Before we consider how fathers should treat their children, we need to first be reminded. You see, because as I look around, I see families with a lot of children. And as a father of children of my own, I know that it is so easy for fathers to get focused on their children that they forget about their wife. Okay? Fathers, don't forget about your wife. The first step to being a good father is taking good care of your wife. So, number one, time. We must spend time with our children. We read Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 says, "And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." One thing that is implied here, it's abundantly clear. We have to spend time with our children. This is a necessity. You see, if you never spend time with your children, you're not only not teaching them, but you're also not cultivating a relationship with them. Now, I understand we're all busy. We've got lots to do, lots of different jobs, different things that present challenges to making this happen, spending time with our children. But fathers, we must spend time with our children. And I would recommend one-on-one time with your children when possible. You see, relationships need time. Now, this can be done in many different ways. You see, sometimes when I, even as I say this morning, it seems like a big thing. Oh, how can I find more time? But this can happen in small ways as well. Okay, just recently, I've gotten in the habit with Royal that when I come in from milking the cow in the afternoon, I set him up on the counter and he holds the lids to the jars. And so we strain the milk, and then he knows, he's sitting right there, and he knows when we take the strainer off the top of the jar, he puts the lid on the top of the jar. And so he sits there and he loves it. And I am in big trouble if I try to do the milk without him. And he comes running in there, he wants on the counter. And when he gets there, he wants the jar, he wants the lid. He knows what he's supposed to do. Now, this is a small thing. This doesn't take a lot of time, but it's so important. We must spend time with our children. Now, number two is love. Without love, all our discipline and instruction will only provoke our children to anger. We need to love our children. We say it a lot. It's easy to say. But we need to show it. We need to show them our love. Now, some of these verses that we're going to look at today, like this one here in 1 Corinthians, they're familiar verses, but I have found as I went through preparing for this morning that so many of these I don't think about when it comes to my relationship with my children. But we should. So consider this as you think about your relationship with your children. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So here we see love is patient. Love is kind. It does not seek its own. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. You see, we need to love our children like this. This is really a selfless love. You see, it's not about me. It's not about whether they have offended me or whether they have dishonored me or embarrassed me. It's not about that. It's about helping them. It's about giving them what they need. God is so merciful and patient with us. May we in turn show mercy and patience to our children. Psalm 103, verse 13. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. You see, our children, they're going to make mistakes. And not just once or twice. And they need us to show them compassion. Just as God has shown us compassion over and over again. This is very important in not provoking our children to anger. You see, children are listening more to our actions than to our words. So let us show them we love them. And this will strengthen our relationship. So number three, listen. Listen to your children. Now, oftentimes when we think about parenting, we tend to think of the parents are the ones talking and teaching, and the children are listening and learning. But if we are going to have a good relationship with our children, we must listen to them. Proverbs 27:23 says, "Know well the condition of your flocks, and pay attention to your herds." Just this morning, I went to feed the cows, and Anna's grandpa told me, "Hey, your cow out there has been bawling this morning. I don't know what her problem is." So, okay, let's go see. Well, her calf was in the wrong pen, separated from her. So she's bawling because she wants her calf to come nurse, and the calf's bawling because they're separate. So pay attention to your herds. Know well the condition of your flock. We must listen to our children. You see, fathers, in order to help your children, you need to know them. You need to listen to them. You see, children are all different. They each have different needs that we need to address. So don't get so wrapped up in always talking and always teaching that you don't take time to listen to their thoughts and their ideas. How else will you know their condition? So in order to have a good relationship with your children, you must take time to listen to them. Children are smart, and they know that people who won't listen to them don't care about them. We must take time to listen to our children, to know them well. Number four is hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. This is a big one. When children see hypocrisy in their parents, it will damage the relationship, and it will provoke them to anger. Again, consider this passage concerning your children. This is Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Fathers, we must be honest with our children. You see, fathers, besides your wife, no one sees your sin as much as your children. They live with you. They know you. They know you're a sinner. Now, this verse is not teaching us to ignore the sins of our children because we are sinners as well. But rather, we are here instructed to stop ignoring the sin in our own lives and spending all our time focusing on our children's sin. You see, when my children sin, I correct them and I call them to repent. And all of that is good. But what about when I sin? Do I repent? Do I go to my children and to my wife and apologize? Or do I hide and ignore my own sin while bringing theirs to light? Listen. Fathers pointing out the sin in their child's life is not what provokes them to anger. It's not even seeing their parents' sin that provokes them to anger. It's really the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of fathers teaching one thing and yet not submitting to it themselves. When a father teaches repentance and then acts as though he himself has no need to repent, it is so destructive on the children. You see, when it comes to parenting, more is caught than taught. We must not only teach our children to follow Christ, but we must show them how to follow Christ. So fathers, let us first take the log out of our own eye, and then we will see clearly to remove the speck out of our children's eye. So here we have looked at the relationship part. And one thing that I want to emphasize here is that as parents, we should not just be seeking obedience from our children. Okay? Obedience is good. But that is too small of a goal. It's too temporary. What we really need to stay focused on is their heart, convincing their judgments. In other words, we want them to not just do what is right because we said to. But we want them to do what is right because they know it's right. They understand it's right. And they want to do what is right. So we want them to end up doing what's right, not because we believe it, but because they believe it. So number two, rules. Ephesians 6:4, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, children need both relationships and rules. This section will look at two aspects of rules: discipline and instruction. Fathers need to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So part one is discipline. Fathers must provide order and structure for their children. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law." You see, without rules, not only are our children free to live out all their evil desires, but they are also miserable. A child is much more happy when his parents place restraints on his life and give him structure than when they leave him to do as he pleases. If you ever see a child who gets his own way, you will see one miserable child. It isn't good for them. Children need structure. It gives them stability and direction, not to mention protection from evil vices. Structure also teaches them a good work ethic. It helps them to form habits of diligence and perseverance. Discipline in a child's life is so important. Discipline is what teaches them from a young age to surrender their will to those in authority over them, and ultimately to God. Discipline is so important. Proverbs 19, 18 says, "Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death." Do you see how important this is? We as parents must correct our children now, while they're young, while there is still hope. You see, if we don't discipline our children when they're young, then someone else will later, when they're older, when the consequences are greater. Listen to how Matthew Henry puts it. He says, "It is better that your child should cry under the rod of your discipline than under the sword of the magistrate or of divine vengeance." This is very important. Also, the verse says, "Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." This discipline is for the purpose of godliness. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." You see, the discipline that we should be giving our children shouldn't be all about eating healthy and exercising. It shouldn't be just about don't eat sugar and make sure you brush your teeth. That's good, but it only profits a little. What we need to give our children is discipline for the purpose of godliness. Our children need to be trained in the things of the Lord. For godliness is profitable for all areas of life, and profitable unto eternity. So we discipline our children, seeking to prepare them for a life of glorifying Christ. Excuse me. Part two, instruction. Fathers are to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This instruction is teaching them, educating them in the ways of God. Parents are to give their children a good education, a Christian education. Now, homeschooling falls into this category. Family worship does as well. But we need to not only think of this as a few organized activities. You see, this needs to happen all throughout life, like Deuteronomy 6 speaks of. This is really a lifestyle of teaching and learning, taking full advantage of opportunities in life for instruction. Also, for you fathers, I know that you have a lot of responsibilities and that providing for your family is very important. And it takes a lot of your time. But understand that this area of teaching your children is not something that we can just delegate away to someone else. What I'm saying is that we as fathers cannot pass all of this off on our wives. We must take responsibility. A while back, I was visiting with an old friend, hadn't seen him for years, and he was asking me, what's going on? What do I do? And so I was telling him lots of different things that I'm doing, and one of the things that I said, I didn't even really think about it, I just said, I'm homeschooling my boys. And he stops me, and he says, you're homeschooling your boys? Implying that, what are you doing homeschooling your boys? That's what your wife's doing, I thought. And I just realized in that conversation, this is our mindset all too often, is that we think of this training and teaching, oh, that's what my wife does while I'm at work. Okay? But fathers, we must take responsibility in this area. We must involve ourselves as much as we can in teaching and instructing our children. So parents, this is so important. Time goes by so fast. So fast. Our children are growing up. So let's not waste our opportunities. God has given us a great responsibility. It's a blessing. May we honor God by teaching and training our children all about Jesus. This is so important. We need to not just love our children and hug them and feed them and clothe them, but we need to take seriously our responsibilities to teach them. And not just teaching them the gospel. Teach them good doctrine. Teach them all about Christ. All about the Christian faith. There are so many good resources available to us today. Let's teach our children everything to do with life and godliness. So in conclusion, fathers, we cannot save our children. Only God can do that. But God has still given us a very important job to do. So may we be well balanced with rules and relationships. And as we teach them all about Christ, may we love them like Christ. He has poured out Himself for us. He forgives us. He is patient with us. He is kind and merciful to us. May God be glorified with our parenting. And may our children have a firm foundation. Fathers, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. But I urge you, to excel still more. Let's pray. Oh Lord, Lord, we thank you so much for children. Oh Lord, what a blessing. Lord, we ask that you would reform our thinking, that we would see and understand what a great blessing they really are. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given parents to make an impact in the lives of their children. Lord, what a blessing. What a humbling endeavor. Because, Lord, when we're honest, we realize that we are in so many ways just like our children, in need of a loving father. A father that will love us, that is gentle and patient with us. A father that will teach us and guide us in truth. Lord, we pray for our children, that you would use us in their lives. Lord, that we would be a blessing to them. Lord, we thank you for the years that you give us with our children. Lord, we won't have them forever. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, that we would make great use of the time that you give us with our children. Lord, we pray that you would be calling them to yourself, and that you would be using us in planting and watering and cultivating those seeds. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see what a great father you are to us, and that we would be loving fathers to our children. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.